Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hi everyone, I'm Grace Hayden. Welcome to Game On. Today's guest is the most feared power hitter in T20 cricket history. A man whose six hitting ability has lit up leagues all around the world, from Big Bash to IPL and beyond. Chris Lynn is here. We'll talk about his journey from Brisbane club cricket to international stardom, his mindset when he's smashing balls onto stadium roofs, and how he's adapted his game through injuries and challenges. Plus, we got a fun rapid fire and a global cricket chat. This is Game On. Let's get into it. Welcome to Game On with Grace. I'm so stoked to have you on. You're my second guest and there's no one better than you to be on. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Gracie. And when you reached out and said, can you come on the podcast? So I ummed and ahed for a little bit, but no, pleasure to be here. It's going to be a good 30-40 minutes. So looking forward to it. It's been a while since we've caught up. So yeah, can't wait.
I know. Last time we were in Canada. What the heck?
Yeah, that's right.
In that tournament, what was the name of that that bar that we named all of our Aussie and New Zealand friends number one spot?
Paris, Texas, believe it or not. So I still know the name of it after a Blue Jays game. Very fun. But yeah, what an awesome tournament, Canada League. You know, we're all about growing the game, aren't we? So what better way than go out and see the sights of Canada?
Yeah, lucky us. That'd be really cool at a job when you get to travel the world and you get to play and I get to talk about it. It's time for a quick break. Stick around and we'll be back soon. So we want to start with the first segment, which is the Game On Icebreakers. Now, the concept is just to like have a bit of fun, few short, sharp questions, and then we're kind of into it. Righto, first one. What's something that you're really weirdly competitive about? Obviously, cricket is a really competitive sport, and most of the players and everyone in sports are quite competitive. But what's something you've taken outside of the game into normal life?
Competitive, it might sound a bit quirky, but just like spelling, you know, when someone messages you with the wrong spelling, I've always got to correct them or be like, not competitive, but just, yeah, correct them, be like the grammar police. I wasn't exactly an A-grade student, but, you know, when someone, it just got that ick if someone spells it wrong or something like that. Yeah, or someone's being a bit of a smart ass.
Doing it too.
It's just a little sort of punchback. Yeah,
that's so good. I love it. So niche, but like so you. I love.
Yeah, too. And like as I said, for not a bright student, who would have thought spelling?
Got to be one thing. All right, next one. What would be your walkout song every time before an innings?
Well, it's currently Timmy Trumpet. So when I was playing for Adelaide, we had a guy standing on the roof playing the trumpet. I can't remember the name of the song, but I'm sure I can flick it across to you and you can edit it and do whatever you like with the song. It used to be Fisher losing it.
That's what you were going to say. That, but yeah.
When I was at Brisbane, but I just needed a change of heart, change of team, change of song.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Who has been the best sledger you've come across?
Oh, best sledger. I mean, nowadays there isn't that much sledging going on because obviously you got stump Mike, stump Cam, so you got to be quite careful. I'd probably, Matthew Wade would be up there because he's quite smart, quite witty. And the other one's probably Bobby Quiney. I mean, when I made my Shield debut, you turn around, you've got like Aaron Finch, Matty Wade, Cam White, Dave Hussey, all the big boys. Then you've got Bobby Quiney, who's just a little chihuahua in your ear at short leg under the helmet. So he was probably quite the funniest because, you know, when you don't take yourself that seriously, I think they're the most, like, the most sarcastic people are the funniest.
Has there ever been a moment where you've just started cracking up laughing, turned behind and gone, what did you just say to me?
Yeah, all the time. And it's probably when guys are just so out there. And, you know, cricketers, we're a different breed, right? And you know all about that. And it's just when people just go, you know, they're just on another chapter. So for me, it's those guys. It's not necessarily the guys that try and be too funny. It's just the guys that are out there that actually don't care. They just say their mind or they're off to the fairies. We, you know, we spend a lot of time out in the field and that sun can get to us. So some of the stuff that comes out of our laughing gear is quite outrageous.
It's delusional.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The boys are dehydrated.
Righto, last one. You're obviously in and out of different countries all around the world, constantly traveling, but you would definitely have a favorite on-tour story. Give it to us.
Oh, come on. You can't hit me with that straight up.
What do you mean?
Favorite on... I suppose any time you win a tournament is pretty special, and I've been pretty lucky. I've won the IPL twice, won PSL, won the CPL. So they're all great moments. But I suppose any time you celebrate a birthday in India is quite cool, obviously with a cake over the face. And believe it or not, during my 10 years of IPL, that my birthday crossed over those IPLs. So I had 10 years of getting cake-faced. But I suppose there's a lot of stories that the media can't get access to.
No.
And I'm not going to give you the access to. Yeah, that's right. And it's not that you're doing anything wrong or that, but it's just that's all part of being on tour. And I suppose that's why guys want to keep playing the game. Obviously, we love the game of cricket, but you just cherish those memories away from the game, your mateship, your new friendships that you create. And also, I get to hang out with the world's best players in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty special. As a 20-year-old kid playing for the Deccan Chargers, you know, you've got Kumar Sangakkara, Dale Steyn, these guys, and I'm just blown away. So to be able to call those guys mates now is pretty special.
Yeah, and to do it so young too. What an unreal.
Yeah, that's right. And you're like oblivious to everything back then as well. You're just like, you're trying to be a sponge and soak it all up. But yeah, you look back and you go, wow, how cool are those moments?
We're just going to take a short break, but we'll be back very soon with more Chris Lynn action. Righto, let's move on to Human Behind the Hype. It's our next segment where we get to know you, the person you are, what really built you into I guess, you. So starting off, where did cricket start for you? I mean, you have obviously playing the game for such a long time now across different formats, but you're mainly in the T20 and now also dabbling into T10. But where did that love start for you?
Look, I was probably about 8 years old, and just one of my mates at school they were short in their cricket team. He asked me, like, do you want to come play? I'm thinking, never played, picked up a bat in my life. Thought, why not? And believe it or not, I actually, like, in under eights, hitting three sixes in under eights was like unheard of. And in the same game, I got a hat trick as well. So I was like, how easy is this game?
Right, it's not even your sport, and you've just come in and absolutely dominated age eight. Oh, right.
Yeah, so, there's a bit of a flex, but, and then you go through the system and, you know, being competitive, you just want to play with your mates. And I suppose people ask what sort of made the difference to the next level. And I think it's just playing in the backyard with your mates, to be honest, because you just want to better them. And I generally hung out with the footy boys, so they're much bigger and stronger. And to have that edge over them when you could whack them back over their head was something I could do as a smaller, you know, character. And, you know, you go through the ranks. I was lucky enough to play as Queensland schoolboys and then played in the Queensland representative stuff. And at that time, you want to wear the baggy green. That's the goal, no doubt. Unfortunately, I played T20s and one days for Australia, but unfortunately didn't crack the baggy green. But that's okay as well. So I went down the T20 pathway, and the franchise world has given me an opportunity that I didn't think I could ever get. So for me, it was something that I'm really proud of. I haven't looked back on that decision not to play long format. And that was about 7, 8 years ago as well. So that's one thing I am proud of, because everyone thinks, you know, you chase the money and you get to travel world and pay T20. But reality is they're only 1 year's contracts essentially. So if you don't perform in that tournament, you're basically, you're not thrown out to the wolves, but you're running the risk of not getting picked up or retained for the next year. So the onus is on myself there. And having moved from Brisbane to Adelaide, I actually don't have a team to train with in Queensland. So I've got to do a lot of training by myself. And by no means am I crying poor. It's pretty cool up here on the Sunshine Coast. But when you don't have a team, you probably do put other priorities first rather than, you know, you focus on cricket. So yeah, here we are, T20, T10, still love the game. Had battled a number of injuries. So to get over that is, you know, challenging, but you know, we're boxers, we're entertainers. You get up and throw the next punch.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it would be super difficult having to, you know, be that sole trader, I guess, and navigate through, because it's not just all of the Australia stuff, it's the international gigs that you get as well. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay consistent. And how do you cope with traveling all the time? Like, have you got coping mechanisms that you've picked up along the way? You've obviously been doing this a long time now, but I don't know, to stay just mentally checked in, especially when you're not performing.
Yeah, I suppose I learned valuable lessons throughout COVID. You know, I did 4 months hard quarantine over the 2.5 years that COVID was around. So obviously in 2 week blocks at a time. So that wasn't an easy feat by any means, but I invested in a sports psych then, and that's the best thing I've ever done. You know, when you invest in yourself, there's no price on that. And ever since COVID's gone away, traveling's been so much easier, you know, because once you build that resilience in four walls in your hotel room that you can't leave, now it's a breeze. So I personally struggled through that little period because it was, you know, being a sociable person, getting out and about, if you couldn't do that. So yeah, it wasn't an easy 2.5 years, but again, still lucky enough to play cricket. You know, there's a lot of people out there that couldn't go to work. So very fortunate we could still travel, still play the game we love. And I suppose just take a step back as well, realise for what it is. As I said, it's a game of cricket. It's not the end of the world, right? So realising a bit of perspective, a bit of gratitude, all those things add up. And yeah, travelling now, it's a breeze. And especially now, the tournaments that I play aren't 3 to 4 months long. Yeah, you know, they're maybe 6 weeks at best. So it's a breeze.
I want to go back a little bit. I know that you were obviously back in the day in schooling days, you were dabbling between footy and then cricket.
Yep.
When was that deciding factor where you went, no, cricket's it. This is what I want to do. I'm going to go full guns blazing into it. How did you decide?
Well, I actually had a knee reconstruction at 16 or 17. And then when I come back from that, I was sick of tackling blokes that weigh 140. And I'd rather face blokes that bowl 140. Like I said, my footy mates were so big and tall and fast, and I was sick of tackling them. Whereas if they come into bowl, I could whack it straight back over their heads or back at them. That was my way of trying to get back at them. So, and then, yeah, with an injury at such a young age, a major injury, I just thought I had some longevity in cricket. So, yeah, I'm really probably grateful of that decision, because, you know, you look at the size of the boys that now taking the footy field at 16, 17, they're monsters. So I think my mum was quite happy I made that decision of cricket as well.
Yeah. What age was that reconstruction? That would have been pretty...
Yeah, I was 16, but... 16, I think I was.
Yeah, wow.
So I was in the Broncos squad at 16 and then had that Broncos development, junior stuff, obviously, and then had that injury. And yeah, that was basically curtains on that. But you know what? I don't look back and go, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I'm quite happy with my decision. And you know what? It probably wasn't even a decision at the end of the day. I was probably always falling towards cricket. So, but you know, Brisbane, we love our rugby league. I went to a rugby union school. So you're always around the boys. And I think that's the best part about Australian sport as well, is that we always rally around each other. And you know what? Like, number one sport over the summer is cricket. So all the boys get around cricket, love their support, as the feeling's definitely mutual.
And T20 format has just taken off beyond belief. I mean, the cricket is going into the Olympics as well, and there's so much happening. But yeah, T20 is really at the forefront of most people's minds at the moment. When did you and how did you really decide, like, okay, I'm going to really focus on T20 format. This is going to be my niche and I'm going to take it on.
Yeah, I guess a bit of a recurring theme, but I had two shoulder reconstructions on my left side, and I am left-hand dominant when throwing. So I taught myself to throw right hand for about 18 months. And then when I was playing for Australia, I tucked this shoulder in and dived with my other arm and then put my right shoulder out. So I was basically back to square one. And I think, you know, the worst feeling in the world is being able to play day one or day two of a Sheffield Shield game. And then if you have a heavy impact on that game, not being able to lift your arm on day three and four, that's when you let your teammates down. So that was a big factor for me. And Not only that, we lost the toss every Shield game and I fielded for every day of the summer. So 96 overs in the field each day wasn't too exciting. Whereas T20, you could go out there, you could play three games a week. I get three bats a week, field for 20 overs at a time. You know, the crowds are rocking, the music's pumping. Yes, we are cricketers at the end of it, but we are entertainers. So I really like that vibe. And, you know, there's no better feeling when you hit one over the ropes and the crowd goes nuts.
Those injuries, I want to talk about them, coming back from them. Obviously, you spoke about being, you know, a bit of a sole trader when it comes to T20 format. But yeah, how do you mentally come back from that? I mean, there's obviously so much time out that of the game, watching on, having good people around you, I guess, would be a key factor. But for you, how did you come back bigger, better, stronger? Who was this?
I guess the first thing is you're never the victim. And like I said, we get to play a game of sport. So injuries are a part of that. And I think the biggest thing is when you have a shoulder recon, I always ask myself, it's not what I can't do, it's what I can do. So can I go be a good team man and help out, you know, in the nets or help them out with some batting stuff? Or I could work on my leg strength or my running, or if I've torn a hamstring, you know, work on your upper body stuff. So always that half glass full type attitude. So when you have your first major setback, I suppose the second and third one, they are tough. And the downside is obviously you got to do rehab. That's the biggest mental challenge for a lot of athletes, is that, you know, TheraBand work or rehab running, whatever it may be. That's probably the hardest part. But yeah, I always just said, it's not what you can't do, it's what you can do. So always looking for the next opportunity to get back out there. I suppose when you get the feeling of hitting a six in front of 60,000 people, you want to relive that feeling again. You know, you can't beat that. So that's that driving factor to get back out in the park sooner rather than later. And I suppose that's why, you know, I probably should have played, you know, I missed maybe three half seasons, you know, playing for Queensland. So I should have played a lot more cricket. And that's why I still love the game so much now and want to keep playing for as long as I can, because I feel like I missed out a lot, you know, 10 years ago.
It's time for a quick break. Stick around and we'll be back soon. All right, IPL, obviously one of the biggest tournaments in the world. When you got the call up for the first time to play that season, what were you thinking?
Well, I think it was like 21 or 22, and Darren Lehman actually put the paddle up at the auction. So thank you, Buffa. But honestly, it was an investment in Buff because he was Queensland coach at the time. And so to give me that experience at the IPL was invaluable. You know, as I said, Kumar Sangakkara, Dale Steyn, Cameron White, JP Dumini, these guys. And I was that sponge. I played 2 years at Deccan Chargers, but I only played one game. But the knowledge that I learned from the Nets and just being around those professionals and world-class players was invaluable. But yeah, it's exciting. It's a different beast over there. Obviously, you've been a part of the IPL, and it is basically NRL and AFL grand final week every game. So obviously, I've had 10 years there, and the first couple of years were very minimum money. And then you obviously go through a roller coaster throughout the auctions. But it was an investment, on my growth, on my cricket. But yeah, I'd like to think it's paid dividends. So again, thank you, Buffa.
Was he really a role model, not just before he, you know, picked you for the IPL, but growing up in the ranks of Queensland cricket?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually met Buff. It was his first training session for Queensland, and we were at Albion Macca's, which is just around the corner from Allan Border Oval. And it was Monday morning. I think we both had a session on the Sunday night, so we were a little bit slow. And sort of walked in there. I was like, hey, coach. And he's like, hey, number four. Because that's the position. Yeah. And we're like, oh, shit, this is not meant to happen. That was our first interaction with each other.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we just kicked off. But more importantly, he cares about your life away from the game of cricket, because he's always said if life is good away from the game, on the field will take care of itself. So I don't believe Buff ever taught me how to hit a cover drive, but he taught me my cricket IQ, my cricket awareness, and how to be a sportsman and a dad and a good person.
Yeah, talking about you being a dad, your beautiful daughter, Lily, when she came into the world, how did that change life for you?
Yeah, well, it was weird. It's hard to explain, but it's obviously for the better. There's no doubt about that. And she just turned three. So those years are gone so quick. Obviously, she's a bit stubborn. She's got a bit of attitude. So I don't know where she's got that from.
I was going to say, where did she inherit that one from?
Yeah. But I suppose a big thing for me is, being a professional cricketer for the last 16 years, you've always put yourself first. And I actually struggle with putting, your family first. You might come home and do it for 24 hours, 48 hours, but to do it every day is something that I do struggle with. So I've got to give credit to my partner, Carly, because she just does it day in, day out. So that's something that I'm still working on and hoping to get better at it. I need to get a lot better at it, but to a detriment to my cricket, absolutely not, because you wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, I mean, and to have that support network with your partner is so important. She understands that you've got a job to do and working in with each other. It's definitely something that I've witnessed that my mum did for my dad. Because at the end of the day, it's not like it's a low-pressure gig that you've got.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, we're talking about the IPL, obviously. Sometimes the dollars are great. I mean, well, the dollars are great, but you know what? It's a cutthroat industry. And if you don't perform, I don't recommend reading your social media. But that's the nature of the beast. And you know what? It's all character building. You're building resilience. As long as you don't get, as I said, it's a game of cricket. People think the world's going to end if you get a duck or if your team loses. You know what? It's just a game. And ever since probably since Phil Hughes passed away, it was a big turning point in my career, or just my shift in mindset, identifying that, you know what, it's okay to get a duck. It's okay to drop a catch. It's a game we play. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and that's acceptable.
You think that was the moment that you really went, no, this life is special and there's no point in reading into all of the white things around you?
Yeah, that's right. And, Justin Langer talks about white noise all the time. And if you can park that to the side, it's unbelievable how much better you perform, but how much you care less from all the white noise. And it's not that you don't care about your performances. Everyone wants to do well. It's not like you're not trying, but you're just having such a better life doing it. And I think we talk about baseball. And look, it's entertaining, but I can just see the shift in their character and their personalities, because even if they lose the test match, they're still smiling, and it's actually awesome to see. I know we harp on about the moral victories that England have, but I don't see the difference between their good days and bad days. I can hardly tell, which is cool to see. There's nothing worse than a team of front runners, and if they lose, they're sour losers. So that's one thing that I've taken away from this baseball era as such.
I want to talk a bit about Big Bash. Obviously, you've had such a long career from the get-go. You were Brisbane Heat to start with, and now you've moved to Adelaide. But I want to talk about you seeing it from conception to now, how much it's grown as a league. What have been your highlights?
Again, obviously winning it in year two, playing with your old boy. It's actually quite funny. I know. I was playing with your dad and...
What would you like to play with? I'm actually very intrigued.
Well, because there was the Matthew Hayden brand, obviously, in the Big Bash, we didn't know what was going on in the first year. We were just out there, a bit of hit and giggle. But I remember batting with Haydos, and he had these glasses. The Meta glasses now. They're a bit more trendier. Whereas back in the day, these were big, the Coke bottle things with the cameras on. And he was trying to bat, and he was trying to talk to me at the same time. The glasses are facing one way, so he was trying to get the footage. It just came out so bad. But it was so funny at the same time. It's like, what world are we living in?
Yeah.
Whereas now that's normal, right? So look, we had so much fun in the first year. I don't think we did that well. In year number two, we won the tournament. So pretty special. But just seeing the game evolve, seeing the crowds come through the gates, the viewership on TV, household names coming from domestic cricket, not just Australian players. And yeah, you're riding the wave of the Big Bash. You're hearing feedback from the crowd. Is it too long? Is the season too many games? Where we actually want footy season to start. And then now the Big Bash is back. You know, we've got that oomph and that impact. So I'd like to think I've had a small impact on the blueprint of the Big Bash. But yeah, it's a great time of year, right? It's Christmas time, school holidays. What better way to see the ball flying out of the park at the Gabba, Adelaide Oval, wherever you may be. I think the Melbourne Derby got 90,000 one year. Yeah. You know, that's insane. Right? Yeah. Our halftime shows, like we're catching up to America with our off-field stuff. We, you know, we had Rocket Man flying around the Gabba with a jetpack. We had a hovercraft. We've got the Nitro Circus down in Melbourne. We've got, you know, Katy Perry's playing games, things like that. Like, it's just absolutely nuts. So we're very lucky cricket's the number one sport in summer because basically all the eyeballs are on you. And again, if you're hitting a six, it's the best feeling in the world because you've got these eyeballs on you and that's what you're out there to do.
Totally. How would you compare Big Bash to an IPL?
Well, if you're fielding on the boundary and you're getting abused, the only difference would be that the Indians haven't drank 44x golds in the crowd.
No, they're just absolutely so passionate about it.
They absolutely love it. No drinking. It is hard to compare because it is a different beast. And obviously India don't have the wide range of sports that we have in Australia. But nonetheless, it's an awesome opportunity. And the IPL is a different beast altogether. So it's hard to put into words or comparison that to the Big Bash. I know the Big Bash are looking to potentially go privatisation soon, which will show a lot of IPL teams will show a lot of interest in Big Bash sides. So that could just be a whole nother level for the Big Bash moving forward.
All right. Obviously, we've got a lot of US listeners because Willow is our, you know, we're working together. And yep. I want to hear your pitch to maybe a listener that isn't a cricket fan, but You've got to get them on board. Bring them on the bandwagon.
Gracie, it's really, really simple. Like, how many home runs are there in a baseball game?
So fair.
So is there maybe two to three?
What was the Blue Jays game that we went and watched?
I think there was two the whole game.
Every ball.
That's right. So what do the crowd want to see? They want to see the balls flying into the crowd. You know, over their heads. I want to take classic catches in the crowds. How many sixes happen in a game of cricket? There'd be 10 each innings, right, per team. So 20 times. So there's enough said.
100%. I mean, I was working on a game the other day, 32 sixes in a game. So it's just there's always action going on, no matter what who's playing. There's always a ball that just hits it into the sky or into the boundary.
Not only that, we catch the ball with our gloves. So we're built tougher.
Yeah, you're not here to muck around.
No, absolutely not. But we're growing, and look, I'd love cricket to take off in the US. It is the second biggest sport in the world by numbers. LA 28, here we come.
And how exciting with MLC as well, too.
100%. And I said the Canadian League, you know, there's wherever there's Indians, there's generally cricket. So we want this to be contagious around the US and Canada because I think there's so much growth there and so much opportunity for young kids to express themselves in a game that is foreign to them.
It's now time for a quick break, but we'll be back to wrap up the show very soon. We're moving into our last segment. It's called Bench It, Start It, Hall of Fame It. Are you ready? Just going to ask you a couple of questions and you just got to categorize them for me.
Yeah.
All right. Aussie icons. Tim Tam, Margot Robbie, Vegemite Toast.
So what were the three categories again?
Bench It, Start It, Hall of Famer?
Well, Hall of Famer is obviously Margot.
Totally. She'd be mine too.
I think we've got to bench the Vegemite.
Okay, fair call. Fair.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I've had it, but it just doesn't get a great rap overseas.
Nah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And the players take it on.
Yes.
Like we take it on tour and like everyone just looks at it and just you see their faces squish up and it's just it's not a great look for us. But yes, we are built different here down under.
We are. Yep. We're just tough units. Yeah. Okay. Tournament. IPL, CPL, Big Bash.
You're killing me. You're killing me. Hall of Famer, IPL.
Yep.
Not the other two again.
CPL and Big Bash.
No, the benchmarks.
Bench it, start it, Hall of Famer.
Well, I think the BBL's got way more room to improve, so we're starting it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to bench the CPL.
Fair.
Yeah.
Tell me about rules,
not me.
CPL. What was that like? Because it's an unreal tournament.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was I actually missed the final. I had to fly home to play domestic cricket for Queensland, so I played the whole season. Admittedly, didn't have a great season, but we had the best team, Brennan McCullum, Dwayne Bravo, Corin Pollard, Colin Munro. Yeah, we had an amazing lineup. And the fun we had is Simon Kadich was head coach as well, another Aussie great. And I had to fly home to play for the Queensland Bulls. So I actually FaceTimed the boys while they were singing the team song and carrying on in the change rooms. And I watched it on TV, but that actually, the fact that they rang me was really special, you know, because it's a squad mentality to win tournaments. So yeah, the CPL is just, it's the biggest party in sport is their hashtag, right? So
the
Trinbago Night Riders definitely lived up to that. And you know what? I firmly believe in the CPL. The team that has the most fun wins the tournament.
Definitely. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me. I've had so much fun chatting to you. It's just nice to have a bit of a yap and hear about you. And yeah, I hope you enjoy being part.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to tuning into the next couple of episodes.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Game On with Grace. Another huge thank you to Chris for coming on board and sharing his stories, having a laugh and just getting to know him a little bit better. But make sure you subscribe, follow, share this podcast if you really enjoy, because there's so many legendary guests coming up very soon. We're going to be chatting all things about them and just getting to know them a little bit better at the end of the day. But thank you so much for watching, everyone. I'm Grace Hayden, and until next time, stay competitive.